Hey, Brandon.
Hey, Lyle.
Can you guess who tonight's sponsor is?
I'm guessing tonight's sponsor is us, because no other fat asses would sit here and do this shit.
Welcome to another week's episode of the Good Old Gamers Podcast. The only podcast as glorious as Billy Mitchell's hair itself.
Right on.
I'm Lyle McClendon. I'm here as always with Brandon Gentry.
Go fuck yourself, everyone. Especially you, Lyle. You look like you've been kind of stressed. You really should take some time. Go fuck yourself, man.
It's funny because I just purchased one of those brand new Kurt Cobain Schlossberg shotguns. I have been quite the nervous wreck. You know, the past 2 weeks we've been talking about, I've been moving. I'm still fucking unpacking.
Always lovely.
It is my wife's birthday this week, so I'm trying to figure out how to take her out. I'm trying to organize a surprise birthday party.
Oh, I'm telling.
Yeah, don't. And, I'm doing all that. And it's supposed to fucking snow this weekend. Yeah. Supposedly. I mean, by snow, it'll probably rain, and you won't be able to drink chocolate milk or eat grilled cheeses for a month.
Yeah. Either way, there's going to be no milk or bread to be found.
There's a mass shortage.
There will be a famine.
A famine of bread and milk. So stock up now. But, yeah. So I'm going to go fuck myself. Thank you, Brandon, for pointing out my melancholy and infinite sadness of this week.
You're welcome. That's what I do best.
Well, how are you, buddy?
I'm all right. I fucked myself yesterday. I'm feeling pretty good.
I'm glad. It's always nice to knock the edge off.
Yeah, it is.
We're going to kick off always, like we do, with a little bit of news. This just in.
The bank robber has oddly shaped feet.
The arsonist was denied a bank loan or something. Or,
the human torch was denied a bank loan.
That was the human torch.
Yep.
Sorry. I'm stressed. My mind ain't working right.
Gotta fuck yourself, man.
Sega announced they're releasing a 3D Sega Classics collection for 3DS coming out April 26th.
Mm-hmm.
And it's got 9 games on it, I believe.
Yeah, something around there.
It's like, it's got your Sonic,
The Sonic.
Sonic Shinobi, I think's on it.
No, Altered Beast is on there.
Altered Beast. I'm looking right now. Sonic, Altered Beast, Power Drift.
Fantasy Zone 2.
Galaxy Force. Some of these I've never heard of.
I know there's a Fantasy Zone on there.
Some of the games that are on here are unreleased. It's saying too. Yeah, 9 games. You're saying earlier though that, or wasn't somebody saying it'd probably be $40?
I thought I saw it was $40. Don't quote me on that. Which that's is fucking steep.
That's a little steep for that kind of $20 would be reasonable.
Yeah,
that's a little harsh.
Yep.
Also, kind of announced that this might take a minute. So, the Nintendo NX may be running at 900p.
Yeah.
Is a recent rumor.
Yeah, did you see the source of it?
It was a Nintendo survey, wasn't it?
It was a screenshot of a survey, so it's very much rumor status. So this could be complete bullshit.
Yeah.
But from what it claimed, I saw the picture of the screenshot itself. The console claims to have 900p, 60fps gameplay, which the Wii sports 1080p, so in that case,
it's a step back.
It does feature 4K video streaming. Who gives a fuck? I mean,
how many people do you know that have 4K TVs at this point?
Even if they did, streaming 4K is nothing special. Let's see. It says the gameplay can flow between the NX console and a handheld device. So I guess it's more of an interactive Wii U from the way that sounds. We'll have achievements. I'll have web calls, like Skype or something like that.
Yeah.
That's all I saw that was of any importance. I'm wondering, though, if because of the step back in this hardware, and it's talking more about the handheld device, if this is going to be more like a 3DS meets a home console type thing.
God, I hope not.
I do, too.
I hate to say it like this, but I really feel like that would be kind of a nail in Nintendo's console coffin.
Yeah, at the same time,
in a way.
I don't know their financial status. I know they made enough bank with the Wii that they could probably last another
pretty sure Wii U is considered a financial failure.
I think a few months ago, it finally hit the black. Like, it finally started turning a profit. But the Wii
U's fucking awesome. Yeah. There's no reason it
shouldn't. The Wii made so much fucking bank, though, that if you know, as long as they didn't blow on shit, they could probably last two failed generations. And I say failed lightly, because the Wii U, I guess you could say, lost this generation of console wars, but, you know, I wouldn't consider it a failure.
I don't, because Wii U's fucking fun to play. With my limited library so far, I still only have like three games for Wii U, but I still have a good time with it.
Yeah, I've been playing Monster Hunter 3. It took me I almost gave up on that game. But
see, I had Monster Hunter 3 for Wii. That was one of the first Wii games, and I did not like it.
The combat's so fucking slow and clunky.
That is what I did not like about
it. And the graphics seem like almost PlayStation 2 era.
I thought about picking it back up for 3DS, because you can get it for 3DS for like $9 right now. It's dirt cheap.
It's and the nitty gritty of it, it's so overly convoluted, the RPG aspect of it. But it's finally grown on me some, because our buddy Juice likes Monster Hunter games, so I got that to play with him, and I almost gave up. I finally found a weapon that I kind of like. So
I still really want to buy Xenoblade Chronicles X.
I do too.
We could play that together.
The online play looks kind of sketchy, though, from what I've seen. Yeah. I need to find... I wanted to rent a copy. I can't find a red box anywhere that has it. But maybe one of our listeners can straighten me out, like someone who's actually played it with friends. From what I've seen, the online play, to actually play with other people, like co-op mode...
You got to be on the same... Or no, go ahead. Never mind. I was about to say something really stupid.
You can only do like specific missions with them. You can't just open world.
Oh, so it's not like GTA 5. Like no. You jump in on an open world map with them.
No, that from what I've seen, I could be wrong. Someone please correct me, because that makes or breaks the game for me.
Yeah, that would suck if that's how that is.
Now
because
I know you can get an NPC version of your friends, and they'll join you in your world. And if someone grabs your character as an NPC version, you'll get experience points from them using.
Well, that's kind of cool.
That's cool, but without the actual being able to play with my friends in the open world, I'm not buying the game.
Yeah,
I can do mission specific shit on other games. I'm not doing that.
Well, that takes like half the joy out of
that's,
it. Like,
that's the best selling point of the game.
That's my favorite thing still about GTA 5 now. Like GTA 5 is running on being fucking 3 years old. And it's still, I love just getting on that open map and just being able to do what the fuck we want to do.
Yeah.
Let's go ride bicycles. Let's go mug this old lady and then shoot this kid driving his fucking sports car around. Because he's an asshole.
Yeah.
Fuck him. Why has he got a sports car? It costs more money than my house does. Fuck him. Tat-tat.
And more Wii U news. I saw that Mario Kart 64 today has got a Wii U port in Europe. Not here.
Oh, man. Dude, that's one game I've been looking for on Virtual Console. The first night I got my Wii cracking, I had a couple people, my friend Matt and his wife were over, and he was like, you think you can download Mario Kart 64? And I looked high and fucking low on Virtual Console for that shit.
Yeah. And it's over there, it's €8.99, which is about $12. So maybe here we'll see 10. It's going to be between 10 and 15.
I figured it'd be about $10, because even Ocarina of Time is only $10.
Yeah, right. So hopefully we'll see that soon.
Europe's getting pretty lucky. I've seen where Europe is getting, for you know, Pokemon turns 20 this year.
Yeah.
Christ, feel old, do you?
But, seriously.
You know, it's turning 20, and we're getting the new 3DS. Pokemon edition with the interchangeable faceplates. It's going to have, I think, red and blue loaded on it.
Red and blue.
Well, they're getting their own version of 2DSs in Europe. And, you know, the 2DS is what it is, but they look badass. I seen the Pokemon Yellow one today, and it's yellow and colored like Pikachu, but the buttons are all like Super Famicom button colors.
Oh, nice.
And I was like, that's fucking cool as shit. Like, I kind of want one just to put up.
Yeah.
They got a new Zelda 2DS coming out over there, too. I thought about buying just to not even open, maybe keep sealed and be a Jew and throw Judas and throw on the shelf.
I really want a 2DS, but the fact that it don't fold up for me kills it. Like, I want
the screen's pretty fucking small and that shit, too. 3DS XL's the way to go, man.
I want that, but I don't want to pay the extra $25, $50 for the 3D capability that I'm not going to use anyway. So, make the 3DS and 2D mode only, Nintendo.
Well, see, I don't ever use 3D on my 3DS. I always play in 2D.
I'm just waiting to snag like a really awesome deal on one before I buy it, because I'm cheap like that.
I've been playing a couple games I was going to tell you about. You can actually download them on Wii U. And I recommend you get them, because they're fucking great. And I think it's like $6 for the collection. Gunman Clive.
Hmm.
You need to check that. It's so fucking... It's like Mega Man and Contra, but it's like Western. And it... I have both of them on my 3DS, but they, like I said, they just released the HD versions on Wii U. It's got all kinds of crazy shit, like, kind of like Super Mario Land. There'll be like your normal platforming shooting, but then it's got a stage where you'll be in a fucking boat, or you'll be on a spaceship or a rocket flying through space. And then there's scenes where you'll have to ride on an animal, and, you know, it's kind of like the screen keeps moving stages where something's chasing you the whole time. Shit like that. Horse riding scenes that are like in third person behind the back view.
Yeah.
It's fucking great.
That's
and it's
cool.
It's like a $6-$7 game.
I saw
it ain't much.
Bald Guns is on there, and I like that game, but man, it seems like such a missed opportunity that they didn't either remake that game or just make that game with that works with the Wii remotes.
Yeah,
to aim with, because that's my biggest complaint about the game is having to use the D-pad to move the reticule. But yeah, it's like $6 or $7 on there, and it's pretty badass.
That's not bad. Sorry, I had to lean. Stand up real quick.
Oh, yeah, I've seen this.
You need to check that out.
Yeah.
Pretty good. The listener doesn't know, but I had to stand up and pick up a Wii game to hand to Brandon.
Yeah, Alien Syndrome. Yeah.
By Sega.
This is actually pretty cheap, too, ain't it?
Very cheap. It's like a $5 game.
Yeah, I've heard it's good.
It is. It's RPG elements. Kind of like Smash TV.
I know Vault's got a copy. I'm going to have to go down there and get it before you
that's where
you
that one,
listeners.
That's where that one come from. So, shameless plugging.
Yep.
Capcom.
Shop Vault Games.
If you don't, you will be. God damn, I can't even talk. Shop Vault Games. If you don't, you will be destroyed. Capcom announced they're coming out with some limited edition Street Fighter V PlayStation 4s.
Are they Alpha Edition, Turbo Edition?
Alpha Super Mega Turbo Edition Omega. The only kind of edition that Capcom will grant you.
I almost don't want to buy any more Street Fighter games from them because I know it's just going to be re-released in 5 months.
Dick sauce. Here's some more news. Speaking of re-releases, Mortal Kombat just announced they're fixing to come out with Mortal Kombat XL. And it's the fucking version with all the, even the combat pack too, the Leatherface, Drunk Master.
Yeah.
All that shit. Every character's $65. And I'm just like, God damn it. I paid $60 for launch, had to stand through dealing with a pony boy and all that bullshit. And then I've got to pay $5 a fucking character. For 8 DLC characters, which is $40. So, $100 in. Fuck that. That's bullshit.
Yeah.
They ought to, people that got that shit, like the day one edition, they ought to just give them the fucking, I mean, they ain't no different than re-releasing it to resell it.
Yeah, all it is they're trying to give people incentive to buy an aging game.
I mean, they did the same thing with Mortal Kombat 9 Complete Edition. So, I mean, I'm not really surprised, but I'm just like, eh, bummer.
Yeah. It's just kind of news. By the time listeners hear this, it won't be, which is good for me, bad for them. tomorrow, the 22nd, there's the Lucas Amiibo is coming out. I'm going to go get it. I'm not going to open it. It's just going to...
Nice.
Chill out on my wall.
I wish I could have got you at Box Nest.
Oh, that's cool. I'll get a box one. I'll use that one. I've been using that one with the Hyrule Warriors and shit like that. So.
Nice. Speaking some other news, kind of the Ganondorf amiibo I was reading will have a special interaction with the Twilight Princess remaster that's coming out.
Oh, yeah?
It's something about you can scan it. And it makes the enemies do, like, double damage the entire game or something. It's, like, it makes it harder on you.
Yeah. That's pretty cool.
Like a Master Quest, kind of. I think that's how you unlock the Master Quest, is you got to have the Ganondorf. I'm not really big on the amiibo collecting thing yet, but I'm going to get all the Zelda ones, I do believe.
I'm not like, oh my god, I got to get all the amiibos.
They're kind of cool, though. Like,
yeah.
Even if you don't use them, like, they're pretty nifty, like, badass little Nintendo statues.
Right, that's what I'm after, is especially, like, for the Earthbound things. Like, what Earthbound toys were there
before like, shit.
There was nothing, so.
So, when does Lucas come out?
Tomorrow.
You're going to nab one?
Yep.
Are they, like, an exclusive anywhere?
Not that I know of.
I was just wondering how hard they're going to be to come by.
I don't think they're going to be too terrible.
I wonder if it'd be like NES, because I had the option to buy NES the day it come out, but GameStop only got like four of them in that day. And I was just like, I'm such a shitty person with my money sometimes. Like, I'm a topwad, and I'm just like, I don't want to shell out $15 for a fucking toy today, piss on Amiibo. Now I'm just like, that's pretty cool.
Yeah. I mean, you can still get NAS box on eBay for like $25 all day, so it's not like it's shot up in value.
Yeah.
I imagine Lucas is going to be even less demand, because...
I'll wait and get one. I'll grab one of them, though.
Yeah.
I kind of want one of the yarn Yoshis.
Those look cool.
They're badass. Like, I kind of like to have one hanging from my like, rearview mirror. In my
I know everyone
something.
Shit themselves over the giant yarn Yoshi. Like, stood in line in Toys R Us. Like,
yeah.
Fuck that.
I got the... I pre-ordered Zelda Twilight Princess Remaster. It comes with the Wolf Link and... what's the thing's name in Twilight Princess?
Twally or something like
that? Something like
that. No, he is a Twally. His name is Midna.
Midna. That's right. It's Midna and Wolf Link amiibo. They're also Nintendo also announced like yesterday or so they're coming out with four new Animal Crossing amiibos.
Yeah, I saw those too. I don't give a fuck.
I like Animal Crossing, but I heard the Animal Crossing amiibo festival is shit.
I've heard that too.
It's like fucking Mario Party.
I like the amiibos for, like we said, they're cool statues. They do so little in video games. If that's all you want it for, it's not worth getting.
Dude, one of my favorite ones, I really like the Zelda ones, of course, but I really love the retro Mario one.
Yeah.
I wish they would come out with a retro Link one. That would And they don't, there's not a Metroid amiibo out. There's not a Samus amiibo out, is there?
I know there's Zero Suit Samus for Smash Brothers.
But not like...
I don't know if there's a full suit Samus. I'm not sure.
Zero Suit Samus.
So hot.
So hot.
I want to touch the honey.
Well, we just lost 15 listeners.
Hey, that's a Billy Madison. Billy Madison reference. So, suck a
dick. The only Adam Sandler movie that means anything.
I like Happy Gilmore.
I like Happy Gilmore and Billy Madison. I actually liked Little Nicky.
Little Nicky was decent.
I can't help it.
Tithead's classic.
Oh, yeah, dude. So good. Henry Winkler covered in bees all day long.
I don't know. I can't think of any more Adam Sandlers. Let's see.
Fuck. Note to self, do not ever bring Adam Sandler up on our podcast again. We'll have to talk about Pixels at some point, though.
I still haven't seen it.
Neither have I. I've heard it's good from a few people, but
seen the reviews.
The reviews is what made me not watch it, because people are like, Adam Sandler hits new low with movie. And I'm just like, wait a minute. That's he bad. Went lower? Like, goddamn.
Last bit of news I have is an old PC game, I Have No Mouth But I Must Scream, has been released on iOS and Android. You can get it for $4 on there. I don't know how well it works. That game uses, like, for any item you interact with, there's like 6 different commands you can do. You can interact with them. So on a touchscreen, imagine it being fucking tedious. On a keyboard, you could just use keys and just cycle through. You don't know. It, like old, most old point-and-click games, you don't know what you can do with what. So you
it's kinda, a lot of trial and fucking error.
So
lots.
Set there tapping all your options and shit on a phone or tablet would get tedious as fuck. So if you don't want to deal with that, for only $2 more, so a total of $6 on Steam, you can get it. I do recommend it there. It's like I said, it's released in 1995. It's re-released now by Night Dive Studios, the people who remade System Shock 2, Turok. It's based on the 1967 Harlan Ellison short story. And this is a point-and-click game that has no good ending, no good guys. It is
life's a bitch and then you die.
Yes. just to sum it up for everyone, it's a the story was about a about the Cold War never ending. It was Russia, China, and America, and they were all competing with each other. And one of the things they did was they all built supercomputers. And the American one became sentient one day, and at some point it decided that it hates humans. So it laid nuclear waste to the world, destroying everybody, but it kept 5 people alive for its own playthings. Made them biologically immortal so they wouldn't age. So it kept them alive for over 100 years.
It's Skynet's fucking granddaddy.
Yes. This concept was back in 67, so it really predates all that kind of shit.
Nice.
The
computer is the size of a goddamn skyscraper.
That's why he hated humanity.
I'm so fat.
But we feel
your pain.
He gets these 5 people to be his playthings, keeps them alive for hundreds of years, and puts them through their own personal hells. And these people aren't admirable hero type people either. They're really shitty scum of the earth type people.
They're the kind of people you find out in the Commonwealth just walking around.
Yeah, they're douchery. They all have to overcome their own personal demons in this game. Like, one of them is he was a Nazi scientist, so he's having to come to terms with all the crimes against humanity he committed at Auschwitz and shit like that. None of these characters really have any redeemable traits about them. They're just horrible fucking people. At least they were. They're having to relive the worst parts of their life and stuff like that. And the game varies from the book some, because it can have a happy ending, but the book does not have a happy ending at all. But it's pretty cool, though. If you like that kind of really dark, depressing story, then definitely check it out.
That seems to kind of be a trend in gaming right now. We were kind of talking about that earlier, like that Dragon Cancer is out, you know, and it's a fucking tearjerker, heartbreaker. There's another game I was reading about today, I can't remember, but you watch a guy die, pretty much like a narrative game.
Yeah, I think what we determined, though, the difference between that and this, is that those are your games that, like, yeah, you feel bad about it, but then you're like, oh, I'm such a good person, you know, the games that make you feel better because you pitied somebody. You don't feel better at the end of I Have No Mouth and I Must Scream. Like, you feel shitty. No good came from
what
this.
What have I done? Nothing right.
Sometimes the universe is fucking sucks, you know?
Yep. Sometimes God opens the clouds and looks down at you and be like, I hate you. What have I done?
That's what I hate about that fucking Facebook page at Humans in New York. It's always some high...
I love lizard people of New
lizard
York.
Lizard people
though.
Of New York.
So great.
That humans in New York is like, high definition pictures with sad stories so people can feel better about themselves.
My wife left me, so I spent 48 days in my one bedroom apartment in Brooklyn making love to my aloe vera plant. Like, okay. Stay in New York. I don't know what else to say.
People have such a hard on for that shit, and I don't understand it.
Because it makes them such a fucking humanitarian.
Yeah. I actually
people say, don't give a fucking shit about anybody until everybody else fucking gives a shit about them.
I see so many people being like, "Oh, you know, they deserve the Nobel Peace Prize and shit." No, they don't. It's a Facebook page.
Yeah, no shit. They're saying for I don't know how to explain what I just thought. For every one fucking profound statement on Facebook, 1,000 other fucking people have thought it. They just haven't felt the need to fucking type it in on their social media platform.
Yep.
It don't fucking matter, you know. Most, if you're a decent person, chances are you think like other fucking decent people.
Yeah. Yeah, it just has, it's like a trending thing now that people think that they can, I don't know.
Being humanitarian is a fucking trend.
It is.
That's why people just, don't give a shit people, about anything until it gets brought up in the fucking news.
And people think that they can really make a difference in the world through Facebook.
Through social media platforms.
Likes and shares. Oh, I'm such a good person. I mean, sometimes, yes.
Gets on my fucking nerves. You know, like, this, for example, this child has 18 forms of cancer. Let's see how many likes they can get to fucking get on their feet. I'm like, they don't need people liking shit on Facebook.
That is, that's
they
disgusting.
Need fucking money to go and try to find the best doctors they can find to help them get over the shit. Or they need, you know, maybe their fucking family needs shit in this time.
Oh, yeah.
They don't need people to fucking give a goddamn 1,000 comments and a fucking 1,000 likes. That's retarded.
Yeah.
It doesn't work, you know, and I'm not knocking anybody for being a Christian. I'm not knocking anybody for being Buddhist, whatever religion, whatever you practice. That's fine by me. But like them people that's like, if we can get 1,000 likes, that equals 1,000 prayers. Maybe God will do something. God doesn't give a shit about what you're doing on Facebook.
No.
If anything, you're probably sinning every time you use Facebook if you want to get logistical about shit.
The only time that Facebook really makes a difference is if it prompts people to take a real action.
Yeah.
Liking something, don't do shit. Commenting, don't do shit.
Sharing shit. Liking, commenting, sharing does help things like the Good Old Gamers Podcast.
Facebook.com/Good Old Gamers Podcast. But yeah, what's really disgusting is the... they have a kid holding up a sign like, if I get 1,000,000 likes, I'll get this life-saving treatment. I'm like, no. It's disgusting. You are taking advantage of a child to get more Facebook.
You're fucking pimping your kid to get fucking Facebook likes is what you're doing.
And typically it's used by pages that know that they'll get more Facebook visibility because Facebook uses this fucked system.
My favorite one is, if I get 1,000 likes, my daddy will quit drinking. I'm like, your dad shouldn't have to get 1,000 likes to tell him that he's being a piece of shit. Like, that's fucking life. Like, he doesn't have to have people on Facebook be like, dude, you're a piece of fucking shit. Stop drinking, take care of your goddamn kid. Like, simple as that. Yeah. That's all there is to it.
Man, I think...
That's borderline rage ranting, dude.
Yeah. Like, I forget, we're a video game podcast. Oh, shit.
It's okay.
Yeah.
I mean... We're older video gamers, so I mean, real life kind of bleeds into our experience, so that's
and
fine.
And gaming / comedy.
Yeah.
That good thing.
Indeed.
/ ranting, / whatever the fuck.
Well, do you want to do Vault's Game of the Week? We got a call in, right?
Yeah, we got, this is just a regular old Game of the Week either.
Hey, this is David at Vault Games, and this week we're just going to change it up a little bit and actually push the Retron 5. It plays Nintendo, Super Nintendo, Sega Genesis, Famicom, and Super Famicom.
And Game Boy games.
It's a retro-styled system that also hooks up through HDMI, and it makes it to where it doesn't stretch the graphics on there. It actually has the original controller ports, too, for the Genesis, the Super, and the NES. Y'all come by and see us.
Nice pause there, David the Bitch. I'm just kidding.
Yeah, Retron 5, I've played with them some. I really want to get one myself.
They're pretty sick. And he didn't mention this, and a lot of people know this. You get the Power Base Converter by Sega Genesis. It'll play Master System games.
Yeah.
Retron 5 is pretty badass, man.
It is.
It replaces all of your console collection shit, for the most part, on your big TV. You know, your...
Oh, yeah.
Family, your living room TV.
Yeah, it makes it a lot easier to have that shit organized.
God, if they just had some way to incorporate fucking TurboGrafx into that, it would be a wet dream. Like,
yeah.
Which, you know, they're reportedly working on a Retron 6 that'll be able to play N64 games with everything else.
They need one with a disk drive, too.
Oh, yeah. Dude, like, just one disk drive. Yeah. You'd be able to, Sega CD, 3DO.
PlayStation,
Saturn.
Dreamcast.
And, you know, they could probably legally do that because that PlayStation emulator came out for PC back in the early 2000s. You remember it? It's called PSX something.
Yeah.
You put the emulator disc in and pull it out and put the PlayStation disc in. It right. pretty much just lets you boot the game up on your PC. So they could probably... Emulator code's a dime a dozen now, so
the
they probably
could. The
only thing
about what we listed, the 30O could be a fucking nightmare. No one's made a good emulator for it.
No.
Because it's such a convoluted system. That and the Jaguar.
Yeah. I have a Jaguar emulator, and the only two games I can play on it are Tempest 2000 and Alien vs. Predator, which is fine by me. That's the only,
is that the only two games?
Two games I give a fuck about on Atari Jaguar, but...
But yeah, those systems are...
It's buggy.
They're very convoluted, plus they have such a small following that... You know, for a game to get a good emulator, it needs to have people who want to put in the time to emulate it. Those people with that know-how are few and far between, so you need a good, sizable fan base, plus it needs to be not a convoluted piece of shit. 30, that's one of the big things that made the 3DO fail.
It's a piece of shit.
Well, not many people want it.
3D, or what 3D was don't. 3 don't.
Yeah. not many people wanted to make games for it because it was so hard to do. That's why Doom on there sucks shit.
Doom is one of the prime examples of how shit is wrong on 3DO. It's like...
It takes up like a quarter of the screen.
Yeah, yeah. It's a very small screen. Sound effects are...
The whole game...
Is all music.
The whole game ran at like maybe 20 FPS, so even the music with it was like da 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 da.
That's right. It's choppy as fuck.
It's 15-20 FPS tops.
You'd have better luck playing the fucking SNES version.
Oh yeah, definitely. The SNES
Sega 32X version, which is fucking terrible too.
Yeah. The SNES was actually playable though, so.
Oh, speaking, this is random, but this kind of goes in the news. And listeners, don't crucify me if I'm wrong. Main dude that made Doom, John Carmack?
I'm not right? familiar. I don't know the name.
One of the main Doom guys has made a new Doom level, a new Doom map, the first one in like 20 years.
Nice.
And he's releasing the code like in the next couple weeks for you to download like a mod map.
That's cool.
I thought that was pretty neat.
Back to Vault's video game system of the week.
Yes.
Retron 5. Yeah, did Game Boy Advance games, and mm-hmm. one other, maybe it's Game Boy Color, which is lumped in there with Game Boy. But yeah, pretty fucking sweet system. Go down to Vault and get it. Tell them you heard about it on the Good Old Gamers podcast.
They got plenty of other shit.
They do.
All the way from Atari 2600 up to PS4, Xbox One. And the one cool thing about Vault is... People bring random stuff in all the time.
You never know what
like,
they got.
You never know what they got. Like,
and if it's something sweet, you better jump on it.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Because if you don't, somebody will.
Meanwhile.
Yeah. We'll fight you for it.
They do have a pretty big parking lot that we can fight in.
Yeah. You don't want me and Brandon fighting you.
Fist to cuffs will be had.
Yep.
But yeah, go down to Vault. Buy it. Like it.
Buy like shit. It. Consume. Consume.
Buy. Consume.
Obey.
Shit.
Roddy Piper wouldn't be having none of that. Rest in peace.
God, I still love that fucking Batman picture I showed you. I'm here to do two things. Beat the shit out of criminals and hug my parents. And I'm all out of parents.
I thought that was fucking great. This is random, but one of the funniest superhero memes I've ever seen was a scene from Spider-Man, the Sam Raimi Spider-Man.
Oh, yeah.
And it's Jonah Jameson and Tobey Maguire. And Jonah Jameson's like, hey, Peter, can you guess what my favorite brand of rice is? And he's like, no, what? And he goes, Uncle Ben's. Is just laughing at his fucking picture of Toby McGuire, like, crying his eyes.
Yeah. That's, like, the best thing that came from the movies. The memes and the Bruce Campbell cameos.
Yeah, exactly. The fact, Bruce Campbell actually named him the Amazing Spider-Man.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and he's named, he says his name something else. He's like, that's stupid, kid. Your name's the Amazing Spider-Man. Oh, or yeah. Something like that. Are we ready for me to do my segment?
Yeah. Do your segment.
I'm changing it.
Change it.
We're not doing Arcade Arcana this week.
All right.
This is a first new segment for the year. Surprise! The first new segment for 2016 for me. I'm going to alternate Arcade Arcana with this. I'm doing a segment called What's in Your Hands? And
you don't want to know the answer to that.
I can smell it from here. But
I don't wash it often.
I can tell. But
I like that cheese.
Dude, that literally makes me nauseous. I'm going to do a handheld segment because we don't really get to talk about handheld games just a shit ton.
No,
and that's something very vital. One reason I decided to do this is my little cousin Alex, you know, he's been a guest. He was a guest on our Earthbound show. And he asked me one day, because they got all them kits out available now on eBay and shit, you know, where you can replace the screen on your Game Boy, replace the case, all that bullshit.
Yeah.
My Game Boy's haggard, you know, like, I've had the fucking thing since, like, 1990, something like that. It's haggard. And he asked me if, you know, I'd planned on replacing any of it, and I was just kind of like, no, you know, like, scratches and dings and discoloration, I'm like, those are mile markers. Like, that Game Boy has been to Florida, it's been to Tennessee, it's been to fucking Kentucky. Like, it's got some miles on it, and I kind of like that about it, you know?
Yeah.
So, I just, handheld gaming is a big thing to me, so I figured I'd like to do a segment. And,
do a goddamn segment. Goddamn edition.
God, yeah. We are Good Old Gamers, goddamn edition. kind of a random, but for my first game for What's in Your Hands is actually Tiny Toon Adventures. Nice. Babs Big Break. A fucking great game.
Yeah.
I was a big fan of Tiny Toons as a kid.
I was too.
Tiny Toon Adventures, though, Babs Big Break, was developed by Konami. And released by Konami. It was released on February 1st, 1992. And it's also just simply known as Tiny Toon Adventures in Japan and Europe and elsewhere. But it was...
They were probably like, what the fuck is this? What the hell is Tiny Toons?
Not a clue. It was the first game released... the first Tiny Toons game released on Game Boy. There were several, but it was the first one. It's your basic-ass platformer. You get to play as Buster Bunny.
It did have... Well, go ahead.
No, it had what?
I remember it having awesome music to it.
Great music.
Yeah.
That old-school fucking Konami 8-bit glory.
Yeah.
It's wonderful. You get to play as either Buster Bunny, Plucky Duck, or Hampton J. Pig. And pretty much the whole point of the game is you got to Montana Max is being a fucking asshat like he always
fucking
is.
Cunt.
Yeah, he's being a fucking cunt. And he's trying to get in the way of Babs' success in Hollywood. And you're pretty much like, nope, we're going to stop you from fucking her over. There's only four stages. And throughout each stage, you call on other Tiny Toons characters to help you along the way. Like, the first one, you work your way across. It's not much different. I mean, it is and isn't from the NES version.
Right.
Like, if you're Buster, you work your way across stage. You can throw carrots. You can jump. You know, and standard platformer Mario style, beat them down. But, like, at the end of the first level, you get to a wall. You cannot go past the wall, so what you have to do is summon Dizzy Devil to fucking burrow underneath the wall.
Nice.
And come out on the other side. Shit like that. But there's four stages. And you, like I said, you got Dizzy Devil. There's Furball, Fifi LaFume, and Shirley the Loon that assist you along the way. And you got, like, certain little random boss characters like Elmira, Roderick Rat, shit like that. Each of the three characters that you get to play as has a different weapon. Buster throws carrots, Plucky throws pineapples, and Hampton rolls fucking watermelons. What were you looking for?
Oh, my phone.
Oh, okay.
I was pulling up our question of the week for later.
And you throw watermelons and shit as Hampton. You get various power-ups, small hearts that you collect. They restore one heart. Large hearts will increase your life meter by one for the rest of the level. Gems you collect, you can spend for, like, they got mini games that you can win lives and power-ups and shit. And that's what you use the gems that you collect throughout the level for. But, if you lose a life while playing for the game and you have 50 gems, when you start back up, you got 25.
Oh, okay.
You lose half every time you die. It's the Jaws thing for NES. Yeah. I love Jaws is labeled as a shit game. I love it, but that's one thing. It sucks shit. You got 40 shells, you die. You got fucking 20 when you boot back in. It just gradually gets lower and lower and lower.
Me and you and our Jaws and Fester's Quest.
Yeah. You get to the end of the game. This has got a unique feature, though. You collect the gems. If you have 500 gems by the end of the game, when you get to Montana Max, you either have to fight him for the theater, but if you have 500 gems, you can buy the theater from him.
Huh. You just skip the boss fight?
Exactly. But, I mean, you still do somewhat of a boss battle, but it offers a different ending and different dialogue. Completely. And the boss battle is not as intense as it would be without. There's also, I mean, there's a code you can enter at the beginning of the game for level select and all that. The Japanese version was known as Tiny Toon Adventures 2. Because they had one that predated, actually. And, the Japanese version has a password feature. And the US one doesn't. But, I mean, that's pretty much all you can say about it. It had a sequel. It's your basic platforming fare. It's one of the best Game Boy games I've ever played. One of the first Game Boy games I ever owned. So, for what's in your hands, it should be something that should be in your hands.
Something a little tiny. A little Tony.
A little adventure.
A little altogether loony.
That's amazing. If they would have only made a Bonkers game. Bonkers, Bonkers, Bonkers!
Oh, shit.
Memories.
Yeah. So, I guess we're going to talk about our games of the week. Because we did not collaborate on the subject. We just picked some games to go with.
I'm going to go ahead and say, we're planning on doing a Neo Geo episode.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking we were going to do this week, but
We're going to have a old school guest with us on that episode, and he wasn't able to make it, so we postponed Neo Geo at the last minute. We're pretty much just going to talk about the shit we've been playing this week.
Yeah.
So it's all right. Why don't you, I've been talking for a minute. Why don't you? Yeah. You tell us something, Brandon.
I've been playing. I looked for something that was outside of my usual sphere of games. So I came across this one. This is, I think it's Majuro. I could be saying, I know I'm saying that way wrong, but the English translation is King of Demons. This is a Super Famicom game made in 95. It's very Castlevania-ish, like Castlevania with guns, or a gun. First off, when you start playing it, you'll notice immediately that some of the sprites in the game are fucking horrible. They're tiny, so like your character is this kind of generic beefy dude who has no face because he's so small. I think the reason why he's so small though is to make room for the gigantic fucking bosses, like to make them seem bigger. I couldn't tell you 100% what the story is. There is a fan translated version. I didn't download that ROM. I know it's out there though. From what I gathered though, you are you're just a dude and you're cliche anime wife and daughter are like taken by demons or killed by them, one of the two. I mean, it shows hopefully a picture.
Demons don't got tentacles.
It shows a picture of them. They're like hardcore classic anime, like giant eyes. They came right out of a Pokemon episode, you know.
Giant eyes, like the little three little glimmer marks on the cheeks and the teeth that look like the fangs almost.
Yep.
Anime fair.
Yeah. You know, to me, like, why would I go through all this trouble to save them or revenge them? I would just fucking keep them. Fuck that shit. It's just annoying.
No shit.
I can't imagine waking up to that. Wake up, daddy. Oh.
Like, daddy, you get out of bed. Huh? It's just like 1,000 speed lines appear out of nowhere. Oh!
Daddy, son. God, most anime pisses me off. I like some.
I like Demon City Shinjuku. That's one of my favorites.
You told me I still haven't seen that one.
I'll let you borrow my copy. It's pretty good.
Mine's still... I'm tattooed with the one I like, Berserk.
That's Berserk's great. That's one of the few animes I enjoy, too. It's fucking great. We need to do a whole episode one night on Sword of Berserk.
Sword of Dreamcast. Berserk and the PS2 Japanese Berserk game.
Never played that, but...
I need to get my old PS2 back from juice. I bought a PS2 just to mod it and play that game. And it was fucking awesome.
You mod a PS2?
Yeah.
I got a PS2 we can mod.
Is it slim or fat?
Fat.
I'm sure it can be done, but the slim was so easy to mod, I literally modded it with a paperclip.
So, shit, that's awesome.
Yeah. You just need a boot disk and a paperclip, and you're good.
Okay, I think I've heard about that.
Yeah, you just make it where it'll spin with the tray open.
Okay. Fucking awesome.
Yeah, and then you can play... I think you could emulate Dreamcast on it. It had all kinds of shit. Anyways, King of Demons. It wasn't just a Castlevania-type game. You start off as a dude, and you got a gun, and you got jump. And you start off... you go through the little Japanese story sequence that you have no clue what's going on. And right before you enter the first level... encounter what looks like the soul of his wife, and it turns into a fairy, and it goes along with you and like aids you in attacking enemies. Like when you first started off, there's all these little imp things flying at you, and when you shoot at them, she'll also fly at them and hit them. Another feature about it though is when you die, if you have her with you, she'll sacrifice herself and resurrect you. So, but then after that, you don't have a fairy until you find her again. You'll find another, you know, human-sized soul of her, and then she'll turn into a fairy and join you. Starting off, like, right off the fucking bat, though, you go in this, like, dirt cave tunnel, and there's this gigantic fucking maggot-looking worm chasing you down it. I mean, this game is full of boss battles. I like it a lot, though, because I love boss battles. That's like the main thing about these types of games that you play them for is boss battles. This one's chock full of them. The game's not extremely difficult, but it's not easy either. It's like the happy medium. It's got most levels consist of a mini boss or two, and then a boss. That giant maggot actually ends up being a mini boss. The enemies in this game are very aberrant and very the thingish, I would say. This looks like Lovecraftian horrors for the most part. Some of them are classic demons, other ones are just odd. But there's some pretty gnarly looking creatures in here. The first major boss I thought looked like looked like a succubus that was turned into a centaur with like a giant brain. Like it was a succubus body sticking out of a brain beast thing. It was fucking gnarly.
It was fucking terrifying sounding. And
when you beat the bosses, the major bosses of each level, they leave this gigantic gem that alters through colors. And you pick it up, you can kind of choose which color if you time it right. It gives you the ability to transform into a demon on your next level that you play. So, the first one I got, I transformed into this big purple dragon thing, and it shoots these laser fireball things. It makes the game a lot easier when you're in a demon form. There's all kinds of demon forms. I didn't even scratch the surface of them. I looked into a guide just so I know. There's like 10 or 11 demon forms. The ones I played with was the dragon. One I was this mantis-like thing that looked like Scyther, the Pokemon. His special ability would, or his main attack, he would throw these. They look like half crescents out of this generic like anime. I'm attacking you with the Scyther from distance. Thing, this little like flashing crescent. I know exactly what you're talking about. Then I played as this like pterodactyl looking dude. Speaking of Berserk, if anyone who's seen Femto, looks a lot like Femto except with a pterodactyl head. Potato chip brand.
This is the thunderous roar of Lyle grabbing chips from a bag.
I'm gonna do that too. Everyone's gonna listen to me eat a fucking chip.
You should all be eating potato chips and listening to our show. It's just, this is that kind of show.
Yeah, off brand potato chips, not by a name brand.
Ripple chips are so badass.
They are.
The
ripples
jam.
Out of ripples. but yeah, the pterodactyl, he shot lasers, which is just like straight line lasers, and they really fucked up bosses good because it seemed like it hit them multiple times as it, you know, went across their body. And the last thing I played as was this fallen angel / rhino thing. You look like if a rhino went to heaven and then decided to fuck heaven. I'm going to fuck this shit up, and then came down as a fallen angel. That's what this is. And he had these, like, almost Dragon Ball Z-ish fireballs.
Holy shit.
Yeah. I can see Rhino's doing that. Rhino's are badasses. Like, fuck heaven. It just starts.
You want my ivory? God damn it.
Just starts fucking everything up, because why not? My species is going extinct anyways.
I'm white, too.
One cool thing I noticed is, I know you can skip getting the demon forms, and like I guess play the game on hard mode, it's just in human form with a gun. Fuck that. But, at least in demon form, some of the smaller enemies, when you kill them, they fall to the ground and lay there for a second. You can go up to them and eat them for health, which I thought was pretty sweet.
That's kind of badass.
Yeah. And you get points for everything that you kill and little power-ups you get. Every 5,000 points, your health meter goes up. So you can kind of upgrade yourself that way. And every 10,000 points, you get another one-up, I should say. So that's where a lot of the forgiveness in the game's difficulty comes from, and that you can earn one-ups. You don't have like, hey, here you got 3 tries and that's it. Nothing like that. You can earn more tries. It's not a whole lot more to say about it. It's pretty damn awesome. I wish there's an official English release. I don't even know how much getting one of these costs in Japanese for the Super Famicom would be. But there's ROMs. It's pretty
ROMs
gnarly.
ROMs
are good. So yeah, King of Demons, what I've been playing. I haven't beat it yet, but so far, pretty sweet.
Well, I'm gonna make you feel, you might feel good about this, because I'm taking it just right down to being a redneck. I've been moving, haven't had time to do shit, but one game I did get to sit down and just kinda piddle the fuck around with was one that's actually pretty dear to me as a child. I've been playing the Black Bass on NES.
Yep, I love that game as well. Like I told you, that was a staple rental for me, because I would go to the gas station to rent a game, and if I just didn't feel like renting anything else there, Black Bass is one of my go-tos.
Well, that was kind of how Black Bass for me was the same way. Me and my grandfather, my grandpa is like, my dad doesn't play video games. My mom plays Pac-Man and Centipede. You know, God damn, I got to figure out where the sweet spot on this mic is. You know, like, she plays Pac-Man, Centipede, your basic arcade fare and shit. And my grandpa, though, has always been kind of the person to play games with me.
Yeah.
We used to rent Black Bass constantly. And get frustrated with it, not be able to do anything. And finally, one day, the place we rented it from were selling, you know, they're going out of business, of course. They were selling all their NES games, and it was still pretty early on, and we ended up buying it. And I still had my same copy. I got a boxed copy now, so. Give me a sec. I'm going to pick my phone up.
Do it.
Well, if I can find it now.
Don't do it.
Feel this dead air.
Yeah, Black Bass was awesome. There's always that giant fucking trout that would come and get your line. Break your fucking line every time. Like you.
Goddamn trout.
Yeah, if you see that big ass whale looking thing on coming at your bait, you best pull your bait back, because it's not going to be a big old bass. It's going to be a fucking trout, and it's going to take your goddamn lure or waste an hour every time.
And you know what? Trout doesn't fucking count on the game unless it's over 3 pounds.
I think any trout doesn't, because it has to be a black bass, don't it?
I want to say it had to be over 3 pounds.
Because I remember catching the big-ass trout, like, finding it for an hour or two and getting nothing out of it.
I'm looking.
I think it's a rainbow trout.
The objective is for the player to catch as many black bass as possible. Bass are the primary fish to gain points or ranking, but all other fish, trout or pike, are less points unless they're over 3 pounds.
Okay.
You still get points, but you don't get near as many points as you would get if you catch an actual black bass.
Oh, gotcha.
One thing that you get the chance, you know, it's just like real fishing. You can pick where you want to be in the lake.
Swamp.
yeah.
Swamp's best.
You can pick your lure. You know, you got frogs, shads, worms, pencil worm.
Yeah, and you can buy
and different buy other colors later. Yeah. Yeah, if you get enough later on. It has a password feature. And this game has that fucking goddamn annoying password feature where it's fucking 30 characters long.
Oh, because it stored data, basically.
Oh, yeah. It was your way of saving the game without a battery backup. It
basically
backup.
Hashed your save file into a text string, and then you put it in there and knows what you got. I guess if you were really savvy with that kind of shit, you could hack your game that way by just figuring out how to manipulate.
Oh yeah, you
that.
Can find out somebody that has some major ass catches and just get their password and dial it in.
That'd be the easy way, yeah.
One frustrating thing about the game that I've kind of never understood: the fucking fish meter.
Yeah, at the bottom of it. That confused me for a long time as a kid.
Like for the people that don't know what we're talking about, when you're reeling a fish in, once you finally land a catch, if you reel too much, it has a meter at the bottom where the fish will be whole. And the more you reel, the fish will degrade, like rot away,
yeah,
essentially.
Into bones.
And when it gets to the bones, that means at any point when it gets to the bones, your line is prone to breaking.
See, I took it as another way.
That's what I think. I still don't know that 100%.
I think that's its fatigue meter.
The fish fatigue meter.
Yes.
Like the fish.
Now,
is
the annoying beep, 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 beep. That's your
that's
line.
That's the line.
That's
right?
The line about to break. They're not necessarily together. Because I've had the line beep without the fish being down, like with the giant ass trout that I told you about that took fucking forever.
Like, there she blows.
Yeah, you would reel it in for like 3 or 4 pixels, and then your line will start beeping, and then you gotta let off for a second and do it again, and you keep doing that for like a fucking hour. Yeah, I think those two things are separate. I know as a child, I thought that the fish would be smaller if it went down to bones, because it just kind of made sense to me that way. Like, if the fish went down to bones, it was going to be a small fish by the time I got it. Like, I don't know, the fish was shrinking because I was fighting it. I mean, fuck, where do things happen in video games?
I never understood that as a kid. I'm like,
I guess we still don't understand it now.
Well, a lot of my deal, too, is like, by the time I would get it down to bone is when the shit would start beeping.
Yeah, they did coincide quite a bit.
So, I was just always kind of like, I didn't know if the beeping, you know, was about the line, or if it was just all one big deal. Like, the fish is worn out, and now it's beeping because Like I said, it would never really start beeping until you get it down around to the point where it's a complete fish skeleton.
Yeah. And that's where like it took like an anomaly for me to figure it out. That giant ass trout, I mean, it made it pretty clear that those two weren't together. But fuck that trout.
Yeah, fuck a trout and fuck the pike. Yeah. We're just here for the black bass.
Hell yeah. That's the only way to win, baby.
There ain't much really I can say about it. I've also been playing Super Mario 2 The Lost Levels. Nice. I did download that on my Wii U, and it's just as fucking frustrating as you can imagine it would be.
Yeah, I've been... This is quite retro gaming, but it still kind of is. The Mario Maker, since they've made the...
I'm fixing to get Mario Maker. That's still the only Wii U game I fucking want.
Since they've made the ability to find good levels better, I've been playing the shit out of that. Anyone who has Mario Maker and listens, go into the official Makers, find Bowser, and get Bowser's Cannonball Run. I'm one of the 1% who's beat that motherfucker. It took me about 200 fucking tries, but I got it. It's badass. It's set up like Super Mario World, and that particular skin and control scheme. It's all over lava, the entire level, other than where you start, it's over lava. And as soon as you start, you gotta start off running, and there's a big giant-ass cannon below you that fires. And you gotta go through all these tight-ass jumps and obstacles and not let the cannon pass you or pass it too far. Because the cannonball, you need it for the very, very last jump in the level. Without that, you can't make the last jump. So it's all these really hard-ass jumps where you're having like jump off music boxes onto a turtle. On it, one part, you jump onto Yoshi, and then you use him to... You jump to just a few pixels above lava, and you gotta like do that little spiral jump you can do in Super Mario World to hop off Yoshi. You use that to hop under a wall that's blocking a normal jump. This is fucking insane.
I would like to try that shit out, because the way you described it sounds like something. I will tap my own balloon or whatever in the fuck you want to call it, like. I'm pretty good at those bouncing Mario jumps.
Yeah.
I'm a decent Mario player. I'd like to see where I rank up on that shit. Whether it be one of those things I can actually do or something where I'm going to throw my goddamn Wii U controller across the room.
I need to get you to play my level. Still no one's beat it but me, so it has a 0% completion rate.
Nice.
It's not as hard as that cannonball run, though. Not by a long shot, but it's decently hard. I'll have to get you to play it sometime. It's pretty sweet.
I'd like to do that.
For those who are wondering, look up the creator, Mathreel. That's my Wii U handle. It's a good old castle. Let's check it out.
Maybe we could do that next weekend.
Yeah.
I'll try my way through it, and we can record my reaction. Because yeah. Mario will let you know how truly filthy of a mouth I have.
One thing I still hate about... Is how many shitty ass puzzle levels and how many shitty ass gimmick levels there are. Like levels where it's like, oh, you don't touch the controls when you start, and Mario goes through a series of conveyors and it plays like a song or some shit. Or the puzzle levels where it's just like some kind of hidden piece of shit in a brick somewhere that you just have to do trial and error to get before time runs out or something happens where you can't beat the level. I like traditional Mario levels. I like really hard traditional Mario levels. And those are few and far between. But, it's better now that I don't have to go on fucking Reddit or Google search to find creators that are worth shit.
I'm sorry.
You should be.
I just had a brain fart. I got a text message and you were talking and I didn't know what to do. I'm supposed to go to Nashville this weekend, and the guy I'm going with just texted me and said now they're calling for 3 to 5 inches of snow when we're supposed to be up there. I really want to go see Primus and Tool, but I really don't want to get fucking stuck in Nashville being as broke as I am right now.
Yeah.
I've spent about $2,000 in the past 2 weeks. Brother man, be tapped out.
Yeah.
Well, I guess... I feel bad not having a concrete topic. Next weekend will be different, though. We'll be back to...
Hopefully we'll have Neo Geo and Swap for y'all.
Well, I Josh Duncan also just texted me. Oh, I gave it away. Spoiler alert. Josh Duncan's going to do our Neo Geo episode with us. He's our local Neo Geo expert. He's our pony boy of Neo Geo.
Yeah.
Fuck you, pony boy. But,
stay fucked, pony boy. Stay fucked.
It's talking about fucking and pony boys. You got some steamy shit for us?
Mmm, it's time to get hot and steamy. Alright. Those who are just tuning in, hot and steamy.
It's a new segment.
Yeah, kind of, anyways. It's a...
For 2016. Yeah.
It is one man's quest to play all of his Steam games. Because as many people who are on the up and up in Steam know, there's a lot of good sales on Steam. And it's really easy to just start buying shit and never getting around to playing it. So I've made an oath to not buy another Steam game until I finish these. And it fucking sucks because I've missed some goddamn sales. So I'm going to play all these fucking games.
You better do it.
My kind of rule is after playing for at least an hour or two or beat them. Like if, you know, some kind, I might come across third games I don't want to beat. So I'm at least putting a few hours into these games. Tonight's hot and steamy is They Bleed Pixels. Have you seen that one?
I have not.
It's kind of an odd platformer slash hack and slash, I guess you'd say, almost Castlevania-ish. It's got a weird story to it. Basically, you're this little girl who has been sent to this home for troubled ladies. It had some weird name attached to it. But while she's there, she finds this book that's kind of like the Necronomicon, and it like morphs her into this demon thing.
Nice.
Well, she still looks like a little girl, but she turns purple, and her hands turn into like these two giant claws. They look like tuning forks almost. Sorry, y'all.
Yeah.
I'm gonna get a cancer stick.
Yeah. I wasn't normally smoking, but my nerves are allowing me to do that.
The real cost.
It's worth it.
Yeah, but anyways, it's like this girl goes into like dream sequences, and the book kind of turns her into this purple demon. Still looks like a little girl.
That looks like Grommis.
Oh, no, no. Well, kind of, because it's purple, but she has these two, like, clawed hands. Like, her hands almost look like a tuning fork.
Kind of like Spawn on Spawn the movie when he can climb up the walls.
Yeah, kind of.
Holy shit.
Do not mention Spawn the movie again while I'm talking about this game. This is a good game.
Sorry.
You just ruined it.
I was a Spawn fan, but I did forget how fucking terrible that movie is.
This game just went from a B+ to a fucking F, because you mentioned Spawn.
Well, fuck me.
No, it's the graphics on it, I could only describe it as neo-retro. I couldn't pin them to any system, but they're obvious. It's retro, almost 16-bit-ish, but I couldn't see this on a Super Nintendo or a Genesis or anything like that. But the art style it's got a lot of black and white, but there are colors. Anything you hit sprays a lot of blood. When you die, there's a lot of blood. One cool thing that I liked is when you die, you leave your body on the level, and you'll see it when you're playing it again. So you can just pile up bodies and bodies and bodies of your own body. It's pretty fucking sweet. The game uses a pretty cool checkpoint system. As you kill shit or you pick up these blood droplets, you fill up this meter on the top of your screen. When it's full, your character starts glowing. And if you stop and stay still, you'll cast a sigil. And the sigil is basically a checkpoint. So when you do that, you make your own checkpoint. When you die, you start over right there. And the game tells a story through like a comic sequence. Anyone who's played like Maximum Carnage,
yeah,
it's that kind of
Comic Zone, Maximum Carnage,
semi-animated comic.
I love that shit. Yeah, though, it's pretty man. Sweet. That's great.
It's got some really difficult platforming. Not like it's not Lost Levels difficult, I wouldn't say, but it's unique in that Because you've got these claws, you can
can you kind of do the thing where you grab onto the wall and can jump up from it?
Kind of. The game does a lot of wall jumping, like Mario 64 style wall jumping, where you bounce off of a wall.
Yeah, you can bounce like back and forth kind of deal.
Yes, and because she's got those claws, she can't stay still on the wall or climb up, but you can slowly slide down. So you can kind of fine-tune where you're going to be at on the wall.
I got you. So, if like, for example, A wall is clear. B wall has two obstacles. You're on A wall sliding down.
You can slide
this far past this obstacle and jump and just clear the very top of it.
Yep. And on top of that, you've got double jumping. So you can jump midair. So there'll be times where you gotta like jump below another wall
and then jump above another one.
Yeah, jump above to get, you know, to a wall that's shorter than the other one. So
that's kind of cool.
Yeah,
that's a whole new mechanic.
Yeah, well, it's a combination of old mechanics that makes for a unique gameplay style. It does have a weird combo system in it when you're fighting these enemies. The main purpose of the combos is to fill up your sigil meter faster, but the actual combat part of it so far has been kind of lackluster. But it hasn't been the main draw of the game so far either. Like the general platforming and stuff has been the killing of the enemies has more of been like this, the necessity type thing. It hasn't been like, oh my God, I'm kicking so much ass with all these combos and shit. It is cool that you can kick the enemies and send them flying either straight up in the air or like backwards or something, because this game is full of spiked pits and you can kick them into them or kick them into a spiked ceiling and they'll just stick into it, just gushing blood everywhere.
Nice.
It's pretty sweet.
Ultimate gore.
Yeah. And the goal of every level so far has been to just find this one version of the book. You can find different pages out of the book for bonus points and shit. Maybe it incorporates it into the story eventually. I don't know. I haven't played enough of it to know. But at the end of every level, you find like the book again, I guess, and you got to find the book to wake up. All in all, it's been a pretty awesome game. I didn't write down how much it costs. It can't be more than $10. You can probably wait for a Steam sale and get it damn near free. But They Bleed Pixels, I'd say it's very hot and steamy.
It's a way to end your evening now. Steamy.
Play it alone in a dark room with candles.
And Vaseline.
Vaseline. It's so hot and steamy.
Ew.
Well.
Very nice. What do you think about that question of the week?
Question of the week. Before we get to the question, if anyone wants to give us a call, the number is 682-777-GOOD.
If you don't call us, things are bound to happen.
Things are bound to happen.
And this is what's going to happen to you.
For those of you who haven't called the show, a warning. If you do not call, you will awaken Satan. An infant shall fall from the sky. Bears will feast on the slow and the witless. Vaginas will turn to stone. Serpents rise from the ground. Fly into your sphincter and bite. Demons will travel back in time and rape your father. Hell, Satan! You've been warned.
You have been fucking warned.
I really need to get on the ball about pushing for calls again. It's been a while. A lot of it's been Facebook's fault, because typically what we did in the past, we'd be like, hey, we're going to record in a few hours, give us a call, and we get some calls. Facebook
had, you get like fucking 18 people that see that post, though.
At most, if I'm lucky. And I don't know why. I'll put the most meaningless shit on our Facebook page, and hundreds of people see it. I'll put something on there I want people to see, and like five people fucking see it. I'm like, what the hell?
We should just start a MySpace. Facebook sucks.
Yeah.
Unfortunately,
Facebook's where we got our biggest following. Twitter and Google Plus, not so much. So more people would see it on those platforms, but we don't have as many followers and shit there. So follow us on Twitter. Follow us on Google Plus. Lyle's dying.
I just about choked to death on a beer that foamed too much.
Hit the back of the throat too hard, huh?
It did. Dude, that just about killed me. Thank you, Miller High Life. That's the low life you just served me.
I just swallow a log. It gets easier.
I've never been that kind of lady.
Our question of the week is, have you ever damaged your gaming equipment in a fit of nerd rage? If so, what caused it?
Do you think we should answer our own questions first?
We should.
What have you damaged? I know you've damaged something. I know I have.
I'm trying to think. I know it was an N64 controller that I split in half. Because they had those two handles.
Yeah.
And you get pissed and it's like kind of pull apart and squeeze down on it. And, you know, you do that enough, it'll snap it. It's probably Mario Party.
I've wanted to beat my head against the wall a few times at your old house playing that fucking game.
Especially against...
Till wee hours in the morning. Especially, and you got a bloody blister in the middle of your hand.
But especially like if you're playing single player against nothing but CPUs and they cheat so fucking bad.
No shit, dude. The fucking AI in that game is goddamn ridiculous.
It's almost as ridiculous as Mario Kart 64 and 150cc. That AI
I'll agree with that. It's awful funny how you hit that question block every goddamn time and get a red shell.
Yeah.
It's real fucking funny.
And blue shells be raining all fucking day when you're in first place. But, Mario Party is like the same way, and especially when you actually beat the game, or at the end of the game, like you could have a million goddamn stars, and no one else has a single fucking one. And then the game pulls out all these bullshit awards. Like, oh, you get the jacking your meat too much star. You get the being a fucking loser star. And it piles them on so many stars and shit that they still beat you.
Spawn on PlayStation 1 caused me to use my fucking controller very Indiana Jones style via whip. It was an old school PlayStation controller before the analog sticks, like the original. And I can dig the bitch out and show you. I slung against the wall and cracked half of the back side of the handle piece completely off. Like there's nothing there. Like you can wrap your fingers up in it.
Oh, nice.
Play it. And I remember my dad just being like, "Well, I can't believe a damn video game made you that mad." And I'm like, "You just don't fucking know, dude." Like.
God damn it, Spawn, Dad.
Yeah, you're lucky you didn't have a knife block in the house, Father. I would have been with those children in prison for murdering my family. Not literally, but figuratively.
Well, we got some answers.
Good.
Matt Hexall Sattler, he said Siphon Filter on the PlayStation. I never played Siphon Filter.
I did. It was, well, I'm glad I didn't say that right off the bat. Not saying that you're a poor man, because I had it as well, but it's a poor man's Metal Gear Solid.
That's what it looked like.
And it is goddamn frustrating.
Okay. I can see why.
Poor Gabe in that game just didn't have it going on like Solid Snake did.
Should have smuggled cigarettes in his gut.
Should have. That made for a better evening, and the nanomachines in your body wouldn't have allowed you to smoke them. Little Metal Gear reference. Sometimes you don't know how good a cigarette tastes in the morning. Another Metal Gear reference.
Let's fucking jack your mate over there with Metal Gear references.
Live. I will, goddammit. I could talk to you for hours about Metal Gear.
We'll fucking do it.
We will.
Metal Gear episode starts right now.
Not right now.
Right fucking now.
Which Metal Gear you want to know about?
I don't know.
There's a...
The one with Snake.
Well, goddamn, Brandon, there's a cornucopia of those. Which one?
Start with the Nintendo one.
Okay. I hope y'all got about 3 more hours.
I'm fucking... Jeffrey Allen...
That's going to be a whole episode. Coming up soon.
I need to actually play them games eventually.
I got every fucking one of them. You can borrow them.
All right. Jeffrey Allen Hargrove, he says Battletoads. Yes, nice.
No shit. Fucking the tunnel on Battletoads. Yeah. Jesus Christ.
This one is probably, I agree with this one the most, Ghosts and Goblins.
Who said Ghosts and Goblins?
Jeffrey Allen Hargrove.
Oh, he said it?
Yep.
Good job, man.
Yes.
You picked one of the bands of my fucking existence as a video gamer.
One of my favorite things, though, is getting drunk with some friends and seeing how far we can get in Super Ghouls and Ghosts.
Oh, fuck yeah.
I've still never beat that game.
The one good thing about Super Ghouls and Ghosts is the ability to make Sir Arthur double jump.
Yes.
That fucking helps so much in that game.
He also says spawn campers on Halo 4. I don't really have much.
I guess it's spawn campers on any game. Fucking first person shooter shit.
I don't know. They don't piss me off anymore because
it's a legitimate tactic nowadays.
It is, and plus, most games. I mean, some games you can't. I don't know about Halo 4, but a lot of games there are ways around it, and they become free kills because you know where they're going to be.
Splatoon's pretty bad about that.
Yeah.
Straight up.
Yep. Especially in Splatoon when you're playing with players who don't team up at all. They're just randomly going wild. And if you're trying to fend off spawn campers, you're just like, fucked. Glenn Green says, Call of Duty, any of them, on veteran. No experience here either.
Yeah, I'm pretty... I'd loop on the Call of Duty. Serious.
That reminds me. I wanted to throw sort of a warning out there to buyers. A guy I work with wanted me to. He still hasn't bought an Xbox One, any of the current gen. He's still on 360, but he likes Call of Duty. He likes playing it with his kids and stuff. Well, the Call of Duty, whatever the newest one is.
Black Ops 3.
Yes. It wasn't meant to be released on 360.
Multiplayer only.
Story mode. He bought it without knowing that, so it's multiplayer online only, so you can't even multiplayer co-op. I think that's right, anyway.
That's pretty shitty. Yeah, it is. Yeah. It's pretty shitty of him.
Yeah, and from what he said, it's not blatantly clear, so you have to actually kind of look for it on the box. So,
yeah, they need to have a fucking sticker on there that specifies online multiplayer only.
And I think he said it does, but it's not very noticeable. You have to look for it. It should be like a big-ass thing like Black Ops 3 Online Edition. You know, something big and clear.
Maybe that shit's where the Coleco Chameleon will end up coming in.
The fact
that you don't have to fucking have internet to play the shit. Step back into 1984 with us.
Oh, shit. Well, I guess that about wraps us up. We needed a question of the week for next week. What should we do? This is something that once we start doing live streams of the video, we can start asking the audience.
We're on our way to that.
Yep.
I'm trying to think. What's something that would be good to ask? What's your earliest video game memory?
Okay.
What's something that inspired you to be the gamer that you are now? What's the first memory that you really remember feeling connected to video games with? That kind of deal.
So, this is a wording, right? What's your earliest video game memory that drew you to video games,
I guess? Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's our question of the week.
Oh, yeah. Answer it and talk about it. We'll be glad to talk about it with you.
We sure as hell will. All right. So, I'll be throwing this question up on our Facebook and our Twitters and our Google Pluses. Facebook is Good Old Gamers Podcast. Twitter, Good Old Gamers. Google Plus, I think Good Old Gamers Podcast is that well there.
YouTube, Good Old Gamers Podcast.
Yep.
Stitcher.
Shout out to the YouTube listeners. I know we got some there now.
Nice. Thank you. Thank you so much.
Stitchers, yes.
iTunes.
Tune in. reviews, anywhere you listen to us, give us reviews, likes, subscriptions, whatever it is.
Shares.
Yep.
That shit actually does help us.
Oh, yeah, that does.
We got 426 likes on Facebook, aiming for 500. So, yep. Come on, help us get fucking 500. Sure. There ain't nothing to it. Help us.
Mm-hmm.
God damn, there's a billion people on the planet. Give us 500 blocks. Come on.
Please, sir.
We got to start giving y'all hand jobs or something. Like, come on.
A like for the poor. A like for the poor.
Indeed.
Or don't like us. Fuck it. Fuck everyone. I don't care.
Yeah. Find our addresses and come kill us. It don't matter.
We'll be here talking about fucking video games either way.
You'll show up. We'll be like, what the fuck are you here for? I'm here to kill you. And we're like, yeah, we'll sit down for a minute. Let's finish this goddamn episode, then you can lay waste our flesh.
Yep. By the way, have you heard the good word of Fester's Quest?
They would fucking kill us. That game made my parents divorce.
I hope that's a story. That's a real story.
You too. I'm like, how shitty were your parents? Like, you're playing the bottom of the barrel in these games, weren't they? You had Yo Noid next to Fester's Quest, didn't you?
I like both of them games. Fuck you.
You've never even eaten a fucking Pizza Hut pizza. You can find us on all that shit. Any questions you got, send to us. Be glad to listen to it. If you got something you want to call and tell us, 682-777-GOOD.
Email us, podcast@goodoldgamers.com.
Do all that shit.
If you got any suggestions for interviews, we're going to start ramping up interviews again.
Yes, we are.
And there's, you know,
I was just going to say, in like the next couple of weeks, they're opening up Pints and Pixels in Huntsville before too long. We're going to be nabbing an interview with those guys toward February. Seeing what's up with them. So if you're in Alabama, especially North Alabama, you know, we got a new barcade opening up. So that's something to fucking be excited about, definitely.
Yeah.
I talked to Joel West. Joel West has been one of our favorite people we've met. World record holder Berserk. He's going to be one of the first people to try to do the marathon record.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to start doing a segment with him. Kind of keeping up with his exploits on the road at conventions and shit. So all that's coming up. Anything y'all got though? Let us know.
You want to interview somebody? We'll let us know. We'll try to get it. We ain't got all the pull in the world, but we got some. So
you got some connections. Help us out. We'll help you out. You know that kind of deal. But as from us to you, as always, from the Good Old Gamers Podcast. There's something we like to say around here, and we're going to drop on it now.
Game over, man.
Game over.
Comes out of the feet and he makes the fall out of the fire.